security advisor that Iran can be charged with war crimes for participating in the brutality against the Ukrainian people by the Russian forces, chiefly to do with the drones now being sold and perhaps transferring the data to manufacture them in Russia. However, before that, Iran was a bad actor for a suspect nuclear weapons program. And the Biden administration, now in office, came into the office saying, we will reawaken the JCPOA. So I welcome Ord Khitri, fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a professor of law at Arizona State University, Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. He and his colleagues have presented to the Biden administration and to the public to read on the FDD site recommendations about what we can call a plan B. Okay, we're not going to negotiate with bad actors, with devils. What are we going to do? And I note in the introductory remarks that Ord and his colleagues publish, Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, extremely powerful presidential candidate, is quoted as saying, I would not be negotiating with Iran. So then what? Ord, a very good evening to you. Thank you, Professor. We begin with a frame of where we are, because I've gotten lost in the statements by the State Department, by the White House, about the JCPOA. Is it put aside? Has the Biden administration recognized that it's not going to work? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The U.S. has for 2 years tried to stop Iran's nuclear weapons program through negotiations, but those negotiations appear to have stalled. Biden himself recently admitted in a quote that negotiations to stop Iran's nuclear weapons program are, quote, dead. Yet at the same time, the program is racing forward. Iran could now produce in just 1 month enough weapons grade uranium for 4 nuclear weapons. So what we do, my colleagues and I, is we lay out a strategic plan. What to do now? 231 practical, specific, and actionable recommendations the U.S. government department should implement to support the Iranian people and confront the ongoing threats from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Before we plunge into the details, and it's a lot of moving parts, and it's wonderful to read. Although, Ord, I mentioned when I read these points, I thought, you mean we're not doing this already? There's a revelation of what hasn't happened. However, you tell me that there are 5 important recommendations overall. You call them buckets. And the first is the protesters. What about the protesters? Because the executions are commonplace now. The Pope has condemned Iran. The Pope, Francis, has condemned Iran. So has the United Nations. What is your ambition about the protests, which over this last decade have been frequent and futile?
You're right. There have been a number of protests against the Islamic Republic of Iran. There's a history of failed revolutions in Iran. This is a pivotal opportunity, it seems to me, to help the Iranian people, to support the Iranian people's goal of establishing a government that is neither internally repressive nor regionally aggressive, and that abandons the quest for nuclear weapons. And so a key bucket of recommendations is how to more vigorously support the Iranian protesters, including by providing them direct support, working with allies to hold their abusers accountable, facilitating the Iranian people's access to information, and also offering a clear vision of how relations could change if Iran were free and democratic.
A second bucket is the nuclear program. What can change the momentum of Iran to build multiple bombs, not just one?
So we recommend, and this is, I think, probably our most important recommendation. The Biden administration needs to credibly threaten to halt Iran's nuclear program militarily if necessary. And how does it do that? It needs to ensure the U.S. and Israel have the capacity to use decisive military force to prevent the regime from developing nuclear weapons. And it needs to communicate to the regime, to the Iranian regime, that the U.S. has the capacity and resolve that if they keep moving towards a nuclear arsenal, there it will be futile. They will not actually achieve it because the U.S. or Israel will destroy that program before they achieve that goal. And how do you do that? You make that clear through presidential statements, military exercises, giving the Israelis the tools they would need to do the job effectively on their own if necessary.
History helps a deal when you're looking at what can happen in the future. And Ord and his colleagues call upon history. 1983, the National Security Decision Directive 75, NSDD 75, I'm told, is the way the insiders refer to it. It was the Reagan administration, and it was directed against the then Soviet Union that no longer exists. How does this help understand policy towards Iran, Ord?
So NSDD 75 was really the inspiration for our report. The Reagan administration came in and they developed all elements of the government strategy for rolling back the Soviet Union. And they did it through aid to dissenters. They did it through pressuring the Soviet Union economically. They saw that the Soviet Union was brittle and had its weak points. And what they did was they aimed to push on those weak points, not with force. There was no invasion of the Soviet Union, but through a variety of peaceful strategies. And ultimately, we believe that that contributed significantly to the downfall of the Soviet Union and a much more, at least for a while, in Russia, a much more amenable, less threatening regime. And so that was really the inspiration, this jumping off point for what we aim to do here, how to peacefully roll back the Iranian regime.
A fourth bucket, this is overall because there's much detail here, is a revelation to me. The People's Republic of China is hand in glove with the regime in Tehran. What is to be done? Is this fresh, Ord? Does the Biden administration talk about this, what's going on between Beijing and Tehran?
Unfortunately, this has been going on for a long time. For a long time, the People's Republic of China has been really the leading outside supplier to Iran's nuclear program. There is a particular individual, Carl Lee, that the U.S. has been complaining about for some 20 years. The Chinese claim that Carl Lee is a private actor in China. There's nothing they can do about it. But various folks on the left and right, and Congress, et cetera, have been pointing out that Carl Lee has for decades now been supplying material and technology to Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile program. Not only has Carl Lee been supplying, you know, Chinese-made material, but the People's Republic of China has also served as a transshipment point for U.S. origin technology. There's a remarkable photo back in the day of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad standing, walking through the Natanz nuclear facility. And next to him, you will see there are hundreds of pressure transducers, a key technology made in Massachusetts. And how did those pressure transducers come to be part of Iran's nuclear program? They were sold to China and then they were transshipped, which, by the way, violates U.S. law. So this is a longstanding problem.
And the fifth bucket, in active combat right now, Iran and Russia with the drones, and we can presume there's other technology, but that's enough. Has this gained attention from the Biden administration that our enemy in Ukraine is also our enemy about Iran's nuclear capabilities?
I think it has. I think it has helped the Biden administration and helped the Europeans understand that the Iran problem is not limited to the Middle East, that the Iran problem can metastasize and be a problem elsewhere as well. I thought it was actually very interesting and encouraging that Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, the other day said that Iran appears to be liable for complicit in Russian war crimes in Ukraine. It seems to me that is correct. Iran is contributing to Russian war crimes in Ukraine, and we should try to hold them accountable. I think Jake Sullivan drawing attention to this issue may suggest the beginnings of a new posture towards Iran by the Biden administration. And we hope that as they begin to put further pressure on the on the Iranian regime, support the protesters more aggressively, and counter Iran's nuclear program more systemically, that they will look to our document for ideas and hopefully implement as many of those ideas as possible.
Ord Khatri and his colleague Mark Dubowitz of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy have published this monograph within these last days about what is to be done about Iran. We've been speaking from the comprehensive understanding of the document. It's quite detailed. When we come back, we'll get into the details of immediate recommendations for the executive branch of the Biden administration and subsequent administrations. This is a long fight, bad actors. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.